This is Near FM
90.3.
Anyway, yeah, so you're listening to me, Paula, here with you live this Wednesday morning. I hope you're all good. So now I should be, technology are now in, I should be joined on the phone by Gerry O'Brien. Gerry is the president of Irish Equity. So, hey, Gerry, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Fantastic. All good. All the better for speaking to you, Gerry.
Oh,
right.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, there we go. Here we go. Start off the day in the right way, you know.
Absolutely.
Right. So you are the president of Irish Equity. So do you want, for anybody that's going, what is it? What is that even? Can you tell us a little bit about what Irish Equity actually is before we get into the nitty-gritty?
Irish Equity basically is a trade union for actors and performers, and singers and anybody else who works in the audiovisual and theatre industries. And it's our job to make sure that the rights of performers are protected, and that those rights and any contracts they get are compliant with all of the legislation that protects them, basically.
Yeah.
There is legislation there that protects performers, because one of the great things about performers is that we love what we do passionately.
Mm.
But unfortunately, that passion and that love for what we do is the key to a certain amount of very sort of over-exploitation of what we do without proper compensation.
Yeah.
In other words, pay.
Yeah, you hear all these things about people trying to get their equity card. You know, and is it quite a strict process?
It's not as strict. We have easy entry for graduate students from the various colleges and courses that teach people how to work within the film industry. We also look after, on the live side, we look after stage management as well, on live theatre. But once you have a qualification, there's a special 5 euro entry fee for the first year, so that you learn what unions are supposed to do.
Mm.
And that's for the students, and every student is entitled to that. Or drama student is entitled to that. Otherwise, your CV, and once you have a certain number of just apply if you're getting professional work, because we have to see your CV and we have to make sure that you're serious about the industry, and then you can join. And, you know, it used to be much stricter. There were all sorts of myths around how you actually join Equity.
Mm.
But it's much easier nowadays, because people need the protection of a trade union, of a group of people who will actually try to look after them.
Yeah, you used to hear all these stories of people going, oh, I'm struggling to get my Equity card, and you're like, how hard is it?
There were great myths that you had to have a part for so many lines, and you had to have so many contracts, but you couldn't get a union contract unless you remember the union and all those things. But no, we have a committee, and we assess people's CVs. We don't reject people. We say, get a little bit more experience and come back to us. And that's the only thing that we do, and it's not a rejection. But once you want to try and engage with the union, we will engage fully with you to make sure that you have as much protections in your career as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a lot better for you to be a part of Equity than not.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to be quite blunt about it. In Ireland at the moment, we have a huge need for a union, because there are so many. Unfortunately, Ireland has this reputation of being a great country to do business in.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we also have another culture, which is a culture of avoidance, which tends to lead to avoidance of responsibilities with regard to legislation across the board. And we think there are always shortcuts. And unfortunately, you know, you have to be very, very strict about legislation, because it's now European legislation as well. Last year, there was what they call the European Copyright Directive, which is a statutory instrument. It's a directive, and a statutory instrument then transposed that law into Irish law. And it gives the right, and it strengthens the right for actors to receive ongoing payments when they have a very successful film or TV series. Unfortunately, in Ireland, what prevailed for a long time were what they called buyout contracts. And the buyout contracts meant you got paid on the day and you signed all your rights away.
Oh, my goodness.
And it means that since about 2000, I would say there are very few Irish actors, particularly working on international films, that would have received what they call equitable and now proportionate remuneration for the ongoing success of the film. Basically, actors would understand the phrase, and perhaps, you know, people outside mightn't, but it's what they call residual payments. So when a film goes on and it has a huge revenue stream, because every time it's shown on television, there's money passes hands and changes hands and everything. But what people are watching are actors working, and unfortunately, a lot of actors in Ireland haven't been getting paid for that work.
Yeah.
Even though it was recorded a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, really, isn't it? If you do a job, you should be expected to, you know, to be paid for it correctly, and all your rights to be in place, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if somebody tried to do a job and not pay, say, the basic minimum wage as laid down on the Working Time Act, they'd be fined and sued. But, you know, the way the legislation here has worked, and the way the contracts are worked here, people are signing away their rights under legislation and not getting paid, but nobody gets sued. And there are various reasons for that. So we have to be very strict about the legislation, particularly as it's a European requirement now.
Yeah.
And that we have to be very careful, because there's an element about the Irish film industry where large international media companies are coming in here to make programs, or what they call content. So a lot of TV series, and there's a lot of work going on. So they're making that content, but they may not be compliant with EU legislation, and down the road that could cause, you know, complications. So we have to make sure that contracts are what they call a collectively bargained agreement, which gives a universal standard, a minimum standard, that people go in and they know they have those minimum protections. Now, as you become more successful, you obviously negotiate way above the minimums on various things.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the starting fee, and then as the years go on and as you progress, you're paid, you know, on what you can leverage, your experience, your time on the set, the amount of whatever the size of the role is, etc. But they're all factors that have to be considered. But you have to have a very strict contract and agreement at the start of your career to make sure that you don't slip into very bad habits.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have, you know, people like yourselves. Like, no, none of us, you know, if you're given a contract, none of us really knows, unless you know a bit more about contracts and how they work and stuff. You could literally just be signing your life away.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, particularly in the audiovisual industry. I mean, you know, even the famous rock groups, they've all taken, you know, previous contract holders to task and to court because they weren't paid enough royalties or residuals. And it's very much the same for the Irish performers. I mean, when you think about it, the Irish film industry is hugely supported by the state.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we have to remember, that the biggest stakeholder in the industry, they love this wonderful buzzword within the industry, people, oh, well, we have stakeholders. Well, the biggest stakeholder and the most important stakeholder, in my view, is the taxpayer. Because the purpose of a tax break in any industry is to ensure that everybody, all boats rise equally with the rising tide, that everybody benefits, and that the standard of living of the people who participate in that industry, that can raise as well. It's not just about, you know, there's a lump of money, we make a film in Ireland, let's go. There has to be a continued return. Now, one of the great things about actors who have good contracts, it means that, you know, and particularly from, say, revenue point of view, if I do a job this year and I have a contract that, you know, allows for those residual payments to go on and to exist, money from sales around the world will start to come back into the pockets of Irish actors, and they will pay tax on it. At the moment, that's not happening. It's happening slightly.
Right.
But not in a proper structured way. There are still contracts out there that are buyout contracts. And that, in, I believe that when the public purse is involved, that the rights, and this isn't, there's a very important distinction I want to make here about applying legislation. This isn't about Irish equity members getting paid under legislation. This is about Irish citizens. Because it applies to every citizen who wants to create something and is covered by copyright, that they have a right to benefit financially from the success of their work. So that has to be enshrined in where public funds are invested, be it television license payers' money, or be it the tax break, the famous 481 tax break. And the producers here are lobbying for an increase in that. And I say, yes, give an increase, but make sure that the people who are engaged here, the Indigenous Irish performers, Like, and that's all those actors who may only get a day in a film,
yeah,
or 10 days, or 2 days. Not the stars, but they're treated in an equal fashion with regard to their rights and an equal and their proportionate share of the success of the film. And that means that for years to come, the actors will receive ongoing payments.
Mm.
You know, I give an example. I did a very famous film, part of a franchise in America. And I made the film in 2006. Now, because I worked on an American contract, I still get payments from that film all these years later.
Wow.
And it's added to my income here.
Yeah.
And it's taxed here. But that doesn't happen in a structured way across all the successful films that we've and TV series that we've seen over the last number of years. And that's kind of, it's self-defeating, really. And I think the producers have to become aware that people are now learning that this is what's happening, and it has to stop.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Jerry, if you could wave a magic wand and, you know, fix things, what in an ideal world, what would you like for to be in place?
In an ideal world, well, we're in a unique situation, and we've already taken steps towards this. We just have to get it codified and agreed with all the Irish producers who are in receipt of public money. We endorsed and approved the use of the UK equity contract, which exists in Northern Ireland. So it really exists on the island of Ireland. Mm. It's just in the Republic that they alter it and change it around with non-negotiated special stipulations. The ideal world is that I know with Brexit there's problems, but England is still, you know, the UK is still a geographic part of Europe from the point of view of film production.
Mm. Mm.
And we in the Republic are, you know, we have a very good situation now for reaching certain quotas within the EU for production-wise for distribution. So we're going to see a lot of activity in here from the streaming platforms, the Netflix and the, you know, the Paramount Pluses and the Hulus and all of that coming into co-productions with Irish producers. But they would be bringing UK stars over to film here. Now, I think that what... And ideally, and as I said, we've endorsed and approved the use of that contract, but the producers haven't signed up to it, is using the UK Pact Equity Agreement in its totality with no special stipulations. Just use it because most of the inward investment comes through investment houses in the UK or directly from the US. And I'm not saying that we necessarily get, you know, as somebody said to me, we can't afford to pay Hollywood money. It's not about the money at the point of production, because we know what it costs to make a film.
Yeah.
It's about sharing in the financial success afterwards. And that's a different thing, and it's how that has to be structured. That's the difficult one.
Yeah.
But the UK agreement works. So I would say, yes, allow Irish performers to work on all these huge international films, but the Indigenous performers must be treated to terms and conditions equal to and not less than any other performer, because the taxpayer is actually subsidising all of the cast with 32% of a tax break. The producers recently want to raise the cap on what they could spend to 100 million.
Right.
And I think that if they're taxpayers, then we should treat Irish performers to terms and conditions, not equal money. That has to be, you earn that and you know your minimums, but then you can earn that through your, like, with 50 years experience, I would hope I would be able to be paid a little bit more than somebody just out of drama school, but that's based on experience and based on all of that. But the minimum terms and conditions about, you know, handing over your rights is very important, and the taxpayer should be safe in the knowledge that Irish performers are not being discriminated against with inferior terms and conditions.
Yeah.
That's my magic wand. That's what I want.
hopefully you'll get it, Jerry.
Quality for Irish performers, that's all.
No, it's crazy, isn't it, in this day and age? And I mean, you know, you're always hearing the amount of films and TV that's being made in Ireland. You know, all the Hollywood films and TV shows that are coming over here to film. You know, it's crazy in this day and age.
And particularly with so close to the UK, who you know, find it advantageous to do this.
Mm.
And particularly when they come over and get public money.
Yeah.
And they may be marrying public money, say, with the BBC, their license payers' money with license. Now, the BBC have a very good contract for engaging performers. But they've shot a number of very successful TV series over here. And I've seen the contracts, which are buyout contracts.
Right.
So whereas, you know, some people may be getting the residual payments and the repeat fees, I can guarantee you that many of the Irish performers won't be, based on the structure of the contract and the buyout nature of it. And that's really, really unfair, because I can't sustain a career where I literally have to give away my property rights in order to get a day's pay. So I have to give away something that has an infinite value for over 50 years, because that's the length of time that we would receive those residuals, 50 years.
Yeah.
I have to give those away in order to get a day's pay, or, you know, the fee that I get at this point. And we lose out an enormous amount of money. We do think of the huge successes we're enjoying at the moment.
Mm.
And I would hope all of those actors would be on. I know they are on a couple of the productions, one very particular one. But there would be another few that are nominated in the Oscar category where I haven't seen the contracts. And a lot of actors are actually afraid to have this conversation, because they feel that if they rock the boat, they won't be offered another job. Because it's a very tight community, it's a very small community, and everybody knows everybody else. And if you say something out of place, then there's a fear that you may not be considered for another job, which is ludicrous, quite frankly. And, you know, I want to make my living here. I have had to go away. I have to work abroad mostly. But I still want to have, this is my home, this is where I live, and I want to have a sustainable career, because I can't do it on the contracts and on the situation at the moment. And I think the taxpayer should be insisting that Irish citizens' rights should be treated equally to everybody else's. And they're not at the moment.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Something definitely needs to be done, Jerry. And hopefully it'll happen sooner rather than later, you know.
Well, it's a matter of what has to be done is to make sure that if we're giving a lot of taxpayers' money to these production houses, that they must be compliant in the fullest with all of the legislation that protects performers.
Yeah.
Rather than giving contracts. I'll give you an example of wording. Back in 2000 with the Copyright and Related Act, there's a lovely phrase in it which people wouldn't understand about, or might not understand. I don't wish to assume that people don't fully understand what the argument here is. It used to say that the artist shall not waive the right to equitable remuneration for the exploitation of the film. That's with regard to all the rights that you have to sign away. And equitable remuneration used to refer to, it says it has to be equitable to the amount that the film makes. Now it's proportionate to. But the contract will say, you're getting this much, and the legalese in the contract will say, the artist agrees that the amount paid herein is equitable remuneration. Now, there's no way at the point of production that I can agree that something is equitable when I don't know how much it's going to make. So that's a case of sort of people using very clever language and putting that document in front of a young actor and saying, you have to sign this right now or you won't get onto the set.
Oh, my God. That's a contract, isn't it? You know, it's crazy.
But that's the darker side of the industry. But we have to look at the very bright side of the industry as well.
Yeah.
It is a huge success story at the moment. And that's not because we're going into and I'm not going to deny the hard work of producers, but at the same time, we're not going in to watch 90 minutes of producers applying for 481.
Yeah.
We're going in to see the actors, the performers, the writers, the composers, the music, all of that being brought together. Yes, the producers do that, but the producers are supported hugely by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
So it's the celebration of all the talent and the intellectual property of those people contributing to that film. That's what's bringing the Oscar nominations. That's what's bringing the success to this country. So we have to really support and protect those people, because it's a hugely exploitative industry.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at the Oscars list, at the Oscar nominations list, and it's like most of it is Irish.
I'm just, as an actor, I have to say, I'm just the right shade of green with envy for all those people who are nominated. It's every actor's dream, and I think we're living the dream right now. And huge success to all of them, you know. You know, particularly people like Barry Keoghan and you know, the rest of them. And I absolutely, yes, I would love to see all of those people win and do extremely well for the country. But you've got to remember that, you know, we're not making the film industry to necessarily primarily to bring more tourists in or to sell more cappuccinos when they're making a film
down in
the restaurant. We're doing it to celebrate the talent and success that exists here, which is supported by that tax break. But equally, you have to look, and this is where people sort of tend to shy away from talking to me because I have to talk about filthy money. But the whole success of every industry in Los Angeles and in London is based on the fact that the actors do receive the residuals, because that means that within the community they live in, they begin to have sustainable careers and a generous income from their work. And that's kind of denied here, and it's played down. Now, fortunately, you know, people like yourselves are beginning to understand this, because when an actor tries to talk about money, it's very, very difficult, because people say, ah, sure, it's a bit of gas and it's wonderful, and you get a few bob as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's not considered, it's a cultural thing, it's not really a profession. But it is now, because the government puts huge amounts of money into training schemes within the industry. They put huge amounts of money. The students themselves going through a three-year course in the Lear and Bow Street and the Gage School of Acting and down in all the third-level education places in Cork and Limerick and Galway. And you know, they're taking it seriously as a career. And I think their rights should be taken seriously.
Definitely.
You know, at a legislative level as well. If we want to have an industry in this country, then let's treat everybody to their rights and to their legislative rights and bring it up to that level. And not this idea that, you know, Ash, you're an actor, it's a bit of gas. I'm 50 years in this industry. I pay tax every year, and it's from my work as a professional performer. You know, it's not a bit of gas to me. I have to pay... Talking about gas, I just got my gas bill across me. I've got to pay those things as well.
Yeah.
As well as any other worker in the country, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
So it is a difficult thing.
Joe,
people don't have sympathy for actors when they whinge about money.
I know. Tell me about it. so thanks so much, Jerry. Thanks so much for chatting with me today.
It's absolutely fascinating. And here's to success for all our guys over at the Oscars.
Oh, fingers crossed. It's, you know, it's amazing, really, when you're looking at the even best film. It's just Irish film. You know, it's fantastic.
Colin Keane is just a beautiful film. It's a lovely, lovely film. And I know a lot of people in that, and they're just brilliant performances.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all way up there.
Indeed. Enjoy the rest of your day, Jerry.
And thank you for calling me. I appreciate it.
We will talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Cheers, Jerry. Bye-bye. See you soon. Bye. So there we go. Jerry O'Brien. He is the president of Irish Equity. I mean, you know, it's crazy in this day and age that stuff like this is still happening with the amount of Irish films that, and TV and stuff that's being made in Ireland at the moment. You know, something needs to change.
This is Lear FM
90.3.